Like the office they commemorate, presidential libraries are living institutions. Certainly, it is my hope that the Reagan Library will become a dynamic intellectual forum where scholars interpret the past and policymakers debate the future.
Welcome to a Reagan Forum, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. The Center for Public Affairs offers lectures and forums presenting perspectives on important public policy issues of the day, from politicians, authors, members of the media, business and military leaders, and more. In May of 2020, we came to you each week to bring you some of our favorite Reagan retrospective podcasts. These podcasts are stories shared by people who knew President and Mrs. Reagan best, people who worked with them, were friends with them, and knew them throughout their life. Each podcast brings you new behind-the-scenes stories from the Reagan years. They're funny, poignant, and rich in history. Throughout May of 2020, we shared 6 Reagan retrospectives from Season 1, 6 more from Season 2, 6 more from Season 3, and 3 from Season 4. Today, yes, 2 years later, we are going to share 4 episodes from our current season, Season 5. So let's get started. In 1960, President John F. Kennedy appointed Cecil Stoughton to be the first official White House photographer. Since then, the public has been able to share the behind-the-scenes moments, family occasions, national crises, state visits, that are critical to understanding the men who have held the highest office in the land. President Barack Obama's official White House photographer was Pete Souza, and he once said, "Creating a good photographic archive for history is the most important part of my job. Creating this archive that will live on, this is not so much photojournalism as it is photo history." But Pete Souza is more than just President Obama's official White House photographer. He was also President Reagan's. In this Reagan retrospective podcast, our 12th from Season 5, we listen to Pete Souza, who shares stories of what it was like to photograph Ronald Reagan as president and then again as the Foundation's official photographer for President Reagan's national funeral. Let's listen.
My name is Pete Souza. I was one of the official White House photographers for President Reagan from June of 1983 until his last day. They had an opening on the staff, and I had known the White House photo editor professionally from years before, and she suggested my name to Michael Evans, who was the chief photographer, and because of that connection, I was asked to interview. And then, you know, you show your portfolio, and it was a good match. And then for President Obama, it was a circumstance where I was working for his hometown newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, based in D.C. when he became a U.S. senator, and I got to know him professionally. He got to see how I worked. So when he was elected president, he asked me to be his chief photographer. So the official White House photographer, well, there's a team of four. We document visually document for history the presidency. That means the scheduled events, but also candid moments behind the scenes during meetings, his relationship with the First Lady. My attitude was, since I was photographing for history, I wanted to be there even if bad things were going on, because that's also history. President Reagan was a man who stuck to his word. I think that's one thing that has stuck with me. He had this conversation with the Chancellor of Germany, Helmut Kohl, and said that he had given his word to him. And he was getting hit politically so hard from everybody, including Mrs. Reagan. Mrs. Reagan was as adamant as anyone that he shouldn't go. And he stuck to going because he said he had given his word to another head of state. And if I can't keep my word to another head of state, then my word is worth nothing. You sort of don't forget that.
The Associated Press is reporting at this hour that former President Ronald Reagan has died. Death apparently came moments ago at his California home, surrounded by family.
So in 2004, I was asked to be the official photographer for the funeral, which was a great honor. And it was, in some ways, a surreal experience when you were photographing the funeral of somebody that you documented every day, in my case, for 5.5 years. And so I'd gotten to know him not just as the president, but as a human being. So it was both an honor but an emotional experience. And to not only just be there for the funeral mass, but to be there for the 4 days, really, where to watch the people lining the roads in tribute to him, both in California and in D.C., was, you know, an experience that, you know, I'll certainly never forget. With both my photographs of President Reagan and President Obama, I hope people learn something about each of them as a human being. And I think a lot of my more favorite photographs are the way each president interacted with other people. And I think you can tell somebody's character by that, by the way they interacted. And I always gravitated towards those pictures more so than from like the big historic events. You know, those little moments to me tell you so much more about them.
The United States Secret Service is one of the nation's oldest federal investigative law enforcement agencies. It was founded in 1865 as a branch of the U.S. Treasury Department. It was originally created to combat the counterfeiting of U.S. currency, a serious problem at the time. In fact, following the Civil War, it was estimated that 1/3 to 1/2 of the currency in circulation was counterfeit. In 1901, following the assassination of President William McKinley in Buffalo, New York, the Secret Service was first tasked with its second mission, the protection of the president. Today, the Secret Service mission is twofold: protection of the president, vice president, and others, and investigations into crimes against the financial infrastructure of the United States. In our next Reagan Retrospective podcast, our third from season 5, we listen to Barbara Riggs, a Secret Service agent brought on to protect President Reagan on foot and on horseback. Let's listen.
I think there were 3 women on the protective detail. There weren't many. I was number 10 hired in the Secret Service, 10th woman. And actually, throughout my career, I'm going to say that there weren't very many women, maybe 10% of the total agent population. One wonderful aspect of the job that I had riding with him is when you're in D.C., everything's very formal and it goes by a formal schedule, and there's a schedule that comes out and meetings, and so you don't really have a lot of one-on-one personal interaction with the president. But at the ranch or riding, and also at Camp David, I had the opportunity to have a much more up-close and personal relationship with him. He was a horseman through and through. And so we shared a passion for horseback riding, and nobody ever did any work for him. He did all his own grooming, cleaning up the horses. After his cancer surgery, he came out to the ranch, I think it was in August. I think his surgery was in June or July. The president had a habit of dismounting with what they call the Italian military dismount. And it's where you're sitting in the saddle, you take your right leg and you flip it over the neck, and then you drop down so you're standing attention at a horse. Now, for a true equestrian, this is a very dangerous way to get off a horse, because if you're flipping your leg over the neck and something spooks the horse and the horse takes off, you're gonna flip off the back. So Mrs. Reagan actually, she said, "Now, Barbara, I do not want the president dismounting the horses with that Italian military dismount. Can you tell him he can't do it?" And I'm like, "Oh, great. I have to tell the president he can't get off the way he wants to get off." But anyway, we went on the ride, and she reminded me that she didn't want him dismounting that way. So I went over to the president, and I said, "Now, Mr. President," I said, "would you please dismount as a regular horseman would dismount so I don't get in trouble today?" During those times at the ranch when you're tacking up, you really could get a feel for the person and his character. I mean, he was just a genuine people person. His communication skills, his interaction with people was amazing. And I had the great privilege of being able to interact with him on a personal basis through the horses.
More Reagan Retrospective podcasts after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to our Reagan Retrospective podcasts. The advance team for the Office of the President helps plan and orchestrate all the events and speeches the President will go to, whether that's one block away from the White House or all the way across the country. In our next Reagan Retrospective podcast, our fifth from Season 5, we listen to former advance staff Shelby Scarborough, who shares memories of working for the President, as well as for working President Reagan's funeral in Washington, D.C. Let's listen.
When I was walking one time with the President to go over to an event in the old Executive Office Building, we get to the elevator, and I said, "Mr. President, after you." And he said, "Oh, no, after you." And I said, "No, really, Mr. President, please, after you," because I needed to be the first one out of the elevator. It makes it a little easier to show him where to go. And he would say, "No, after you." And so finally, the Secret Service would just say, "Just get in the elevator. It's okay." You know, and of course, we were inside the Executive Office Building, so there was very little threat to anything, but it made it awkward. He was such a gentleman, but we always did this dance of after you. And I really appreciated the fact that he thought of other people before himself. And that's just a tiny example of that. I think one of the things that stands out to me that how that resonated around the world was at his funeral. I was had the honor of helping in Washington, D.C. Put on the logistics for his funeral. And we were riding from the U.S. Capitol to National Cathedral for the service with the casket in the hearse. And I was in two cars behind the hearse. And as we drove by, I saw people, everybody saluting and standing at attention, paying their respects to our president. There was one specific man who really just choked me up completely. He was in a wheelchair, and he was a veteran. You could tell the way his wheelchair was adorned and a sign that he had. And he was obviously elderly, and he was standing in front of his wheelchair at attention as the motorcade went by. And that just, see, I'll get all teared up. I think it just demonstrates what kind of man President Reagan was to the world and how much we miss him. It probably was one of the single highest honors of my life to work for President and Mrs. Reagan. They embodied the concepts of civility that I write about today, and I actually talk a lot about them in that sense because they treated everybody with dignity and respect. As an individual, President Reagan was so careful. We hear stories of him returning things or calling people or making sure they got thanked for things. And that's just so amazingly gracious when, you know, everybody will give him a buy on that because he's such an important person. He was such an important, busy guy. But he took the time to make sure that everybody was taken care of somehow.
The White House Director of Speechwriting is a role within the Executive Office of the President of the United States. The office holder serves as Senior Advisor and Chief Speechwriter to the President of the United States. He or she is also responsible for managing the Office of Speechwriting within the Office of Communications. Ken Kachigian served as Chief Speechwriter on Ronald Reagan's successful 1980 presidential campaign and continued as Chief Speechwriter in the Reagan administration, writing President Reagan's first inaugural address, his three main economic speeches, and the welcome home speech to the Iranian hostages. He joined us in episode 6 of season 5 for our last Reagan retrospective podcast for today. Let's listen.
The two of us were waiting for him and Mrs. Reagan. We were going to have lunch together. And she was a little bit late. She had been out with her lady friends, I think. And while he was waiting for me, he was passing the time like any other 11-year-old boy would do. And on the 18th floor of the Century Plaza, he was flying paper airplanes off the top of the Century Plaza Hotel. And he said, "Ken, come over here and look what I've been doing." So I walked over, I think it was on the 18th or 19th floor from the presidential suite, and the balcony was open and there was an empty lot below. And he was using White House stationery and folding them up of paper airplanes, and he was really proud of himself. And he had a couple of them in hand, and he flew it off the balcony, and he flew it all the way down, and he pointed his hand down, and he said, "Wow, look at it go." He was just like a little boy. And I just imagine who was down at the lot, down at this below the Century Plaza Hotel, finding all those paper airplanes saying the White House on it with the presidential stationery. One of those real amazing days in your life when you're working with the President of the United States. In 1981, I was collaborating with the President on his inaugural address. And I had just pretty much finished working on the final touches on his reading copy the night before. And so I went in to see him in Blair House. He was staying at Blair House. And so I went in to let him know that we had finished working on it. And we went over some last few items on the, this was his first inaugural address, obviously. And we went over the inaugural address. And he said, well, are we finished? Are we through? And I said, yeah, I think we're ready to go into production for the reading copy. And he put his tray aside and he said, Ken, were you able to go to the Lincoln Memorial service last night? And I said, well, no, no, sir. I was in the office last night. I was working. He said, oh my gosh, it was just magnificent there at the Lincoln Memorial with all those columns. It's such a beautiful place. I had such a surge of patriotism, and it was so patriotic. He says, I was crying frozen tears. They were singing God Bless America. And then he looked up at me and his eyes started welling up in tears all over again. It was such an amazing moment. He thought, my goodness, it's a long way from Dixon. And I can't imagine having too many greater memories than that, President Reagan. The little boy from Dixon all of a sudden going to be President of the United States.
These Reagan Retrospective podcasts are only 4 of the 9 podcasts so far published this season, with even more to come. So we recommend you visit youtube.com/Reagan Foundation to subscribe to our entire season, as well as all of our podcasts in our 4 other seasons. Simply go to our YouTube channel, click on playlists, and find the one entitled Reagan Retrospective. Thank you for listening. To find a listing of all upcoming events, please visit reaganfoundation.org/events. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit reaganfoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Until next week, thanks for listening, and God bless you.
Don't forget to subscribe to A Reagan Forum podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of A Reagan Forum come out every Thursday. Like what you hear? Check out our Words to Live By podcast featuring radio addresses and speeches Ronald Reagan delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. New episodes drop every Tuesday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.